year, we want to keep it real. We want to keep it real by focusing on the reality of our relationship with Jesus and what that looks like in our day-to-day life. Keeping it real, which for us, it begins by seeing all of it from God's perspective. Having that 3D perspective, if you like, knowing how high, how deep, how wide God's love is for all of us. And from that place, being authentic Christians who love Jesus, who serve Jesus, follow Jesus, declare and talk about Jesus in and through our lives. In the second week, we looked at our vision statement and we identified a set of values, teaching on being, again, authentic Christians. We looked at those values, and for us, we identified that we are a church that values encountering the presence of God, focusing on our devotion to our God. We are a church that values discipleship. We value and teach on being authentic Christian. We are a church that values mission. We are a church that values family. Why? Because we are the family of God. These values, they help set our culture. And we want to be people who know what we stand for and work towards that. Yeah. Last week, we looked at being a community of unity. And we defined what that means. We don't want to be a church that is known as a community of proximity. People who are in the same location, in the same place, getting together every now and again without any relationship. And so Pastor John went ahead to identify what does a community of unity looks like. And he summed it up in these phrases, that true unity exists where Jesus is glorified in our praise and the Holy Spirit is allowed to direct in our hearts. That true unity exists when people live in humble obedience to God's word and the Spirit's leading. And true unity exists where we love each other and honor each other. And so as we continue on with our vision this morning, keeping it on par with keeping it real theme, I want to talk to you about three practical ways to know God, become like Jesus, and make a difference. Through our involvement and our connection with the church, with the family of God, so that we can grow and become what? Become mature disciples of Jesus. In addition to all that we have heard and taken in throughout the month, we are calling this the 1-1-1 principle. The 1-1-1. Now, I want you to know beforehand that this concept is nothing that we have created. It's nothing that I have created. We did not come up with this 1-1-1 principle. It has been applied and encouraged in churches for a long, long time. So we can't claim any credit for this. So what does it mean? What does it mean when we say 1-1-1? 1-1-1 simply means being involved in one service, in one connect group, and in one team to serve in, one area of serving. Being part of, involved as a healthy, functioning member of the body. Yeah. Yeah. A simple, practical, and wholesome way to grow us all in the journey of becoming better, becoming mature disciples of Jesus. Now, I understand that there are many of you here who may say, you know what? Not only do I come to the morning service, but I am also, whenever there is our pathways through the word service, I'm here too. I am in two connect groups. I serve in two different teams. To you, my friend, I say hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Give God all the glory for that and continue to do that. Continue to do so. And while you're at it, testify. Hey, tell others how through your involvement, being connected to God's family in these areas, how He has brought that increase, that growth in you. Because that's what happens to us all, doesn't it? You now have a role. It doesn't stop there. For those who are saying that, yes, I'm involved in as many things as I can, you have a role now to play, to encourage someone to do the same. Share your testimony of your growth and fruitfulness. Yeah. But please, this morning, I don't want you to misinterpret what I am saying. I'm not stopping you from being involved in more than once in those areas that I told you about. The more you're involved, the better it is. But I'm here to encourage everyone that if you are not part of any one of these one that I'm talking about, or that I will be explaining a little bit more, please do. Please do. Step in. Come join the family and function as a important member of the body of Christ. So let's look at the first one. The first one represents being involved in at least one worship service, a church service, pathways through the word, as you know, our teaching service every Sunday, making sure that you lock away that time for yourself and for your family. Why be here? The question you must be asking. Why? Why church? Why this service? I love how Paul explains this. He says, and you may have heard this about the scripture, you may have read this in scripture. It talks about we are one body. Yeah. Describes as a human body with many different parts that serves different functions. Now, let me read to you Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 5. My focus is on verses 4 and 5, but hey, it's scripture, and I want to include 1, 2, and 3. While we at it. And I'm reading it in the Passion Translation. I love Passion Translation. English is my second language. Passion Translation speaks to me very well. And the other language that I really well can explain you things in is in Hindi, but you won't understand me. So Passion Translation for this passage of Scripture. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? To surrender yourself to God to be His sacred living sacrifice and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights His heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. God has given me grace to speak a warning about pride. I would ask each of you to be emptied of self-promotion and not create a false image of your importance. Instead, honestly assess your worth by using your God-given faith as the standard of measurement. And then you will see your true value with an appropriate self-esteem. Verse 4, in the human body, there are many parts and organs, each with a unique function. And so it is in the body of Christ. For though we are many, we've all been mingled into one body in Christ. This means that we are all vitally joined to one another, with each contributing to the other. Now, recently, my mom lost her big toe. She's fine. She's all good. I just spoke to her yesterday. The doctors had to cut it off because of diabetes. It got infected. And I praise God that it was not the whole foot or the leg. It was just a toe. And so that infected toe's gone. Now, even without that small member of her foot, her body, even without that small missing part, you know, she finds it difficult to walk. She finds it difficult to walk. I'm sure eventually she'll manage, she'll adjust. But without the toe, just a small part of the body, there are other parts of the body that are functioning in a different way. Her brain's functioning at a higher level because the body is trying to get herself, get her to balance. And so there's pressure on other limbs. And because of that one small missing toe, what used to be, how she used to do the things in maybe, say, 1 hour, it takes her longer to do the same task. Paul writes about us as part of the body of Christ. Can I encourage everyone this morning that you are unique, that you are needed in this body. None of us exist outside of this body, the body of Christ. No Christian is an unattached Christian. We are all members of each other, connected to each other with the purpose of serving each other and growing in knowing God, growing in the knowledge of God. Paul describes the worship of our God as becoming living sacrifices to our God. What does that mean? It means giving up, seeking what we want from life, and learning to know and serve what God wants. If you want to know God, this is where you can do that. This is where you belong, right here. Begins with using our spiritual gifts, our God-given gifts to serve each other in church. A lifestyle of setting ourselves aside, separate from what is out there in the world. Our goal as Christian is to love and lift each other. And we can't do that by being spectators. We can't be that. Do that by being spectators, by being an outsider. But as a functioning member of this body. Can I encourage you that you have a place? You have a place. You have an important role to play. It's not because I say so. No, no, no. It's what God has said about you. And that's what He has planned for you and I. Ephesians 2:10 says this: "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." All you got to do is be part, be involved with each other as part of this one body, Christ's body. There is no other way of experiencing that than by being right here in the fellowship of believers. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Having something in common. We all have something in common. What do we have in common? Common salvation through common faith in God and in His Son, Jesus Christ. What's the second one? The second one in the 1-1-1 principle represents being involved in a group. One area of connection, our connect groups, that helps us to stay focused, that helps us to operate in the second part of our vision statement, and that is to become like Jesus. Become like Jesus. You see, this is great. This is amazing. I'm here standing and I'm preaching to you. You are learning, you're writing it down, you're taking notes. I'm speaking to you. with what God has laid in my heart, and you taking that all in. This is group, but with the context of church context, small groups or connect groups, we call them connect groups, are designed to do what cannot be done in here. Let me give you an illustration. Let me give you an example. Can I please ask all our connect group leaders, assistant group leaders, hosts to stand up? DC leaders, can you please stand up? Our pastoral team, can you please stand up right now? You see this. In a moment ago, I was standing here and I was speaking with you. One person to so many. But right now, immediately, you feel a closer connection to the person who is standing right next to you. There is a real connection. There's a real person, a person who's close to you right now that you can relate to. This is our connect group leaders. An immediate connection that you can grow and become friends with and connect as a family. Before you sit down, Ben and Elise. Warren and Shanae, why didn't you stand up before? Can you have a look around? These are our connect group leaders. These are our connect group leaders. They do a fantastic. Let's give them a hand. Hallelujah. Can we raise our hands towards them? I want to pray a blessing over each one of our connect group leaders, our pastoral team. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for these wonderful people, Lord God, that you have prepared, that your plan for them to lead people, Lord God, the plan to open their house, their homes, Lord God, to let people in, to love them, to serve, Father God, to do life together with, Father, would you bless them this day, Father God. Lord, I pray, Lord God, for each home to have your blessing, to have wisdom, Father God, each one of them to carry your wisdom, each one of them, Father God, to have your words, Lord God, planted deep in their lives, Father God, they can speak and prophesy over every person who comes into these homes, Father God. Let your blessing flow from them to everyone else that they get connected with in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. Their prayers that they happen in their groups, Father God, what would take 1 week, let it change to from 1 week to days, Father God. Let the answers come in these houses, Lord God. Let people be saved, Father God. People be encouraged, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Let this be a strong place for Jesus, for people to connect with. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Take your seat. Let's give them a hand. A connect group is an extension of the church, in alliance with the vision and mission of our church. From our connect groups, what do we learn? What do we get? Our connect groups is meant to build this, build our local church. It is where pastoral care happens. It is where discipleship takes place. It is where we share the culture of the church. It is where one-on-one evangelism takes place. People are grown in our connect groups. Can I also say this? Can I give you some assurance, especially to those who are not part of any connect group at the moment, who are not involved in any groups, that there is nothing weird going on in our connect groups, in the homes that the connect groups are hosted. There is nothing funny or there is nothing sus in the language of the Gen Z. There is nothing sus. That takes me, my daughter Sara teaches me all these Gen Z words. I don't know whether it's right or not, but there's nothing sus that goes on in the homes that host connect groups. But what we do is what we do life together. We'll do life together just as Jesus did when he was here on earth. Let me read you Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says this: all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. We simply do what we have read. As Scripture directs us in our connect groups, we get together for Bible study. Every month, we prepare what we call an episode of Pathways Connect, We look at Scripture and we share its message in a relevant and practical way. Out of that, there's discussions that takes place in these homes. There's prayer. There's support for each other. You have fellowship and discipleship. And there's a level of accountability, all in the comfort of someone's home. When we fellowship through Connect Group, we get the opportunity to love one another. 1 John 4, 2021 says this: if someone says, "I love God," but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we can't or whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command: those who love God must love their fellow believers. Let me tell you this, if you are too busy to love others, people who are in close proximity to you right now, and you're too busy to love God. You're too busy to love God. If we are called to become like Jesus, to grow in our fullest potential in Christ, to love, learn to love, I say learn to love seriously, one another, then our Connect Groups are the great place, a great place for that to happen. It is a great place for spiritual transformation to take place. And I believe, take my word for it, because that's what happened to me when I started off in this journey. Believe me when I say that it's the best way of building friendship in a growing church. In a growing church. The third one in our 1-1-1 principle. A simple, practical way of applying the vision of the church, your church, is getting involved in a serving team. Getting involved in a team that serves. Serve in at least one area in the life of the church. We can go on and on about making a difference to impact the world for Jesus. That's great. We need to do that. We are called to do that. But I want to encourage you this morning that it starts from here. It starts from being involved and helping out your family. When that happens, it tells me that you are part. You are a member of the body of Christ. You see, I can tell the difference between a family member and a visitor. Now, if you are visiting our church, this illustration is not for you. We love you and we welcome you. But I can tell the difference between a family member and a visitor. Every time I have invited anyone at my place, at my home, I know that everyone who enters my home immediately becomes a family member. It could be one of you, our Connect Group, distant friends, people who are not even here. Anyone who walks in becomes a family member. Why? When they enter my home, they don't act as visitors do, but as a family member does. What's the difference? They are ready to give you a hand in the preparation of the meal. They are ready to give you a hand in the preparation of the meal. They are in the kitchen helping out. You see, a visitor, on the other hand, they won't do that. And this has not happened in my house yet. The visitor comes in, they will sit around waiting to be served. A family member is serving and preparing the meal. You see, what is true in my humble home should be true in a much more higher level, in the family of God, in the church. We don't want to be a church where there are more visitors in the house of God than family members. We want to be a house that is full of family members. You and I, we can change that. Can I encourage you to come and prepare a meal? Get in the kitchen with us. Why is it necessary to serve God? Why? Because it is in God's word. Why? Because the Son of God, Jesus, did so. You see, when a person is in a real relationship with God, they will serve God. You should want to serve God because we know Him. An intrinsic part of knowing Him is a desire to serve Him. Peter addresses this, the importance of serving. Listen to this. Serving God in 1 Peter 4, verses 10 to 11. I'll read this. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. What's Peter saying here? He's saying that we have received our gifts from God for two purposes: to serve others and to bring praise to God. Serving isn't about us. Serving isn't about us receiving attention or glory. It is for Him to receive glory through us. If you want to make a difference, if you want to make a difference outside, well, the practice, it starts in our homes, in our church family. When we look at Jesus' life, there's no denying that He was a servant. Jesus' entire life was centered on serving Abba Father, Father God. He came not to be served, but to serve. Even one of his last teachings to His disciples, remember that story when He sat with the disciples, put a robe around His waist. What did He do? Wash their feet. He washed their feet and said, "You have seen Me do this. Now do likewise." Do likewise. So if Jesus is all about serving and God wants us to become like Him, then it's pretty obvious that we should all be about serving as well. But here's the catch. There's a catch. Genuine service cannot be separated from love. Cannot be separated from love. We can go through the motion of serving God, but if our hearts are not in it, we're missing the point. We're missing the point. Unless our service is rooted in love, it's meaningless. Serving God out of a sense of obligation or duty, apart from love for God, is not what He wants. It's not what He desires. You see, we can give away only what we've first received. The reason we can love and serve God is that He first loved and served us through Jesus Christ. The more we are aware of and experience God's love in our own lives, the more we are to respond in loving by serving Him. Be the family of God and fellowship with Him. Get to know Him. Become more and more like His Son Jesus. And make a difference by involving yourself in one service, in one connect group, and in one team to serve God. Can I be clear about one thing this morning? You see, this one principle, being devoted to church life, connect group, serve wholeheartedly, amounts to nothing if we don't know and have a relationship with the one, Jesus. Jesus said that He is the way, He is the truth, He is life, and no one goes to the Father. Nothing that we do can take us to heaven, to take us and make us in a relationship with God. Only Jesus can. There is no life without Jesus. There is no reason behind anything that we do if there is no Jesus in your life. So as I finish this morning, before I pray for every one of us, while the heads are bowed, eyes closed this morning, I want to give an opportunity this morning to anyone in here that says, great, I love the church. Love the people of the church. They're great. They're loving. They're kind. Love fellowshipping. Love the worship. Love the music. But who's this Jesus? Jesus is the King of your life. You just don't know it yet. How do you know that? You receive Him. You repent of your sins. We were all sinners before Jesus. I want to give you this opportunity. I know God, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, I know God has been moving in your heart this morning. The Holy Spirit has been moving. He is the one who speaks to us. He is the one who draws us to Jesus. Can I ask those that are not in Jesus, they don't have a life in Christ Jesus, not a follower of Jesus, if not received Him, can you make that commitment this morning to take Him as your Lord and Savior? This is what I'm going to ask you to do. Put your hand up right now. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you. We are present in a community of believers, people who love you, people who know you. Father, I just want to pray for every individual, Father God, that we make this year, we make a commitment, Father God, that nothing comes in between our relationship with you. Nothing comes in between us being a functioning member, a functioning part of your body, of which you are the head. Father God, that we fellowship as believers in our connect groups, Father God, where your name is praised and where we have the opportunity to become like your Son, Jesus. Father, that we step out in faith, Lord God, we will serve you. Starts from here, Father God. I pray that you put in our hearts an area where we can diligently, lovingly serve you in church. Open our hearts for this to happen. Help us, Holy Spirit, to make this commitment to be part of this wonderful body, the body of Christ. I declare and I pray for each one of us this morning. Amen. Amen. Amen.